This is Four State Focus. News Radio 930 WFMD talks to newsmakers throughout Frederick and surrounding counties.
And welcome to the Frederick Focus Show. I hope you are well. I am your host, Ryan Hedrick, and today we have a real treat for you. Her name is Dr. Brenda Cham, and I go way back with Dr. Cham because I used to talk to her when I was on another radio station, and she wasn't a delegate. She was actually running for Hagerstown City Council, and I'm so proud of her because she has worked so hard to get to where she is at, which is a delegate in Annapolis, Maryland right now. Brenda Cham, thank you so much for making us part of your day. Good morning.
Good morning, Ryan. It's good speaking with you today.
Yeah, good. And
your listeners, of course.
No doubt. Well, we have history, and we'll cover that history in a minute. But obviously, for people that don't know, you took over for Andrew Serafini, and it came during a time in your political career when you were just really getting started. Take us through that process, because it was a whirlwind of activity that ultimately culminated in you being sworn in as delegate.
Well, let me first correct you there, Ryan. I didn't take over for the awesome former Senator Serafini. He had some pretty big shoes he was wearing when he was in the Senate. That was now Senator Paul Quarterman, who assumed the role as senator, and then I assumed the role of Paul Quarterman when he was the delegate.
Yeah, and at that time you were running for Hagerstown City Council, and it was very much a grassroots effort on your part because people were concerned about the direction of Hagerstown. So when you were sworn in Annapolis, did you, and I mean, being a Republican is pretty difficult in the state's capital, isn't it?
It is. It's been a challenge. It's been challenging. But, you know, I'm a big girl. I have some broad shoulders. And when you're willing to step into this arena, coming out of the special ed classroom setting, that was my career before I decided to take on politics. You know, I'm not stepping into this alone. I look to God to be my strength, to be my guide, to be my supporter. And he has certainly proving himself. And things are going great so far.
Yeah, certainly. And you represent your district so well. Now, you cover Hagerstown. Any other cities or municipalities that you cover, or just Hagerstown?
No, just Hagerstown, District 2B. I think that's enough for right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's a lot of challenges in Hagerstown. Before we get into the sanctuary states, which, you know, may play a role or may not play a role in some of the violence we're seeing in Hagerstown, are you concerned about that city? It's been a rough couple of months. The police department is small but mighty as they've solved a lot of cases. But what is your level of concern with Hagerstown right now and some of the gun violence we're seeing in that city, Dr. Cham?
Certainly, yes. Great concerns with our city. You know, we're not a large city. We're just a little over 40,000 citizens who reside in Hagerstown. And, you know, when you're out and about and you're shopping and you're downtown and you're speaking to people, you're getting to know people and getting to know what their concerns are, because it's not just about what I feel are concerns of Hagerstown, but how do my constituents feel about all of the gun violence that has been occurring in Hagerstown and people getting shot. And, you know, there's significant concern. But I tell you what, you described it perfectly when you said our police department is small, but they are small but mighty.
Yeah.
You know, you frequently read, I follow them on Facebook to know that they've made this arrest for drugs and they stopped this car that might contain drugs and guns. They are working hard with getting, if I may say, the bad people off the street and getting those bad things off the street. So they're working hard. There's much more work to be done, but we're gonna work hard to show that we are supportive of our police department. We are appreciative of their efforts, and we're gonna make sure that they know that.
Now, due in large part probably to the leadership of the chief there, Paul Kiefer, but I mean, you're talking about residents that, you know, I don't subscribe to the theory that cities are bad. I subscribe to the theory that there are bad elements in the city. And most of the residents in Hagerstown are good people, and they don't want to see any of that stuff in their community, do they?
Absolutely not. I know a lot of people in Hagerstown. And certainly when I was running for city council and now that I'm the delegate, I've come to learn and know a lot more people. There are good people who live in Hagerstown who want a good life, a decent life, a safe life for their families, for their children to play out in the street and to drive through the city of Hagerstown and not be accosted by anyone on their dirt bikes trying to dominate the streets and driving unsafely. They're great people in Hagerstown. And then there are some people that are out to do things that aren't safe and out to engage in criminal behaviors. But for the most part, I believe Hagerstown is a beautiful city. It has a lot more potential, and we're looking forward to getting some more good work done for our great city of Hagerstown.
We are spending some time with Delegate Dr. Brenda Cham, who is has really come full circle in her political career, proudly representing Hagerstown in the state capital of Annapolis. Big, big shoes, because there was a special session that was held. Now, you guys don't really actually get going until January 13th, but what is the special session all about, Dr. Cham?
Wow. You know, I think the word special is definitely what it has
That's
been.
That's the operative word in that sentence, right?
Yes, it has been a very special session, and I don't, you know, don't laugh about that lightly, but we've taken on some very serious bills this week and had some really tough conversations and debates on the floor when we're looking at the redistricting maps based on the census and how lines now, I won't say will be drawn, but how they are drawn based on the map that was voted in by the Senate, the House on Monday, Tuesday, and the Senate on Wednesday. And, you know, I want to be optimistic about what the future for Maryland looks like. But right now it's pretty dismal when you look at those maps, the map that was approved. It was really a big blow to the Republicans. And it keeps the Democrats in power. And we've just got to keep fighting the good fight to catch our breath here as far as being a Republican in the state of Maryland. And not only just with the map, we're talking about HB1, which was all about the detention centers for people who are from other countries. So it's been some really big conversations to have this week that unfortunately didn't work in the favor of Republicans.
Yeah, let's deal with the redistricting first, because we know that Democrats control both the chambers in the state mm-hmm. capitol. And it must be demoralizing for people on the right side, conservative Republicans, that want fairness, they want equitability when it comes to who their elected officials are and who they represent. I mean, some of the rural counties like Garrett County, Howard County, Frederick mm-hmm. County in Maryland, you have drawn up, and Democrats represent those counties, but not necessarily the values and the principles mm-hmm. of those residents, right?
You are 100% correct. You know, when I look at my friends who live the furthest west of us in Garrett County and Allegheny County, when you look at that District 6 and the way the map is drawn, it's going all the way down into Montgomery County. And you look at people there in Montgomery County, in Rockville. I don't know if you've been to Montgomery County lately, but I wouldn't say that they share the same values as people in Garrett County or us here in Washington County. It's a huge contrast when you look at what our concerns are, and you look at the map, and it just takes your breath away to see how the map was drawn and how it now is. It's very unfortunate. It's very disheartening.
I guess one of the arguments, Dr. Cham, that we're looking at is Democrats say the map they support makes improvements to the current one. What types of improvements are they talking about?
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. But I know I don't agree with that at all. If anything, from 10 years ago, the map didn't change much. It changed a lot more to their benefit, to the benefit of Democrats. But it continues to be a map that's very gerrymandered and very poorly mapped out and where the lines are. So they may say that it didn't change much, but I believe as Republicans, we would disagree with that. It did change, and it changed in the favor of Democrats.
Now, senators rejected an amendment that would have, like, substituted a proposal backed by Republican Governor Larry Hogan. I think his proposal was created by a panel of citizens, and it was fair because you had Democrats, Republicans, and independents on that panel, right?
That's absolutely correct. So when you look at that, you know, you look at the people who represented that commission, the Maryland Citizens Redistricting Commission, it's made up of people who have different mindsets. You have some Democrats, you have some Republicans, and you have some independents who are sort of in the middle of the road there, don't go one way or the other. To me, those people are representative and would have been the map that they drew is a fair map. So the fact that that map wasn't even considered, it wasn't even brought up as a map to vote on, it's like a slap in the face to constituents, to the citizens, not just to us as elected officials. So it pains you in a way, like, why are we really here as Republicans? You know, we're here trying to represent our constituents, but their voices aren't being heard through us. We are the spokespeople of our citizens, and we're not being heard.
Brenda Cham joining us on the Frederick Focus Show, and she is a resilient woman who has battled to get to where she's at. She has many, many different nuances about her. She's an educator and now a politician in Annapolis. I sense a different tone, not a bad tone, Dr. Cham, but when you first got into politics, I had the pleasure of seeing you as a bright, happy, optimistic woman who thought about great things when you got to Annapolis. Now, have your expectations become tempered a little bit, given the fact that the Democrats are so overwhelmingly in charge of both chambers?
I think what it does, and I promised myself when I decided to come into this arena of politics that I wasn't going to let these challenging moments jade me and harden my heart towards the public servant that I feel that I'm called to do at this particular time in my life. I tell you what, it is a punch in the gut and kind of makes you wonder, like, oh my God, you know, did I come into this a little bit naive and that Pollyanna attitude? But it just, if anything, it makes you fight harder. It makes you fight harder to try to encourage people that the Republican Party is a party of inclusiveness. It's not a bad party. You know, we're a party where we don't want the government all in our business telling us what to do. We are a party where we want small government. So I try to keep that light on in my heart and in my head to remind myself what I'm here to do. So that brings the smile back to my face. You just work a little bit harder and remind people of what we're called to do here in the general.
And you are a Black woman, Dr. Cham. How have the Democrats been so successful at convincing so many Black voters that Republicans are inherently racist and there's nothing in the repertoire that would benefit Black voters at all? How do you think that indoctrination has gone? Because it really is an indoctrination of Black voters that has happened for 30 or 40 years now.
Yes, further back than that. You know, I think what the stronghold Democrats have in the African American community is the constant conversation about race. That race and racism is the root cause of all things bad that might occur in the Black community. Everything is about race. Everything is not always about race. And I think that's where the Democrats really just kind of have that chokehold on a lot of people in the African American community. They continually and constantly play the race card. Republicans are all about white supremacy. I know many, many African Americans who are in the Republican Party. Maybe not a lot in Washington County. I can count them on one hand, minus a few fingers. But, you know, this is bigger than just Washington County.
Right.
But I think that's where the challenge is. Everything is about race. And the word racism, you know, it has morphed into this term that's used. And the situation that may be occurring may not have anything to do with race. But the Democrats will make it about race.
Right.
And that's where the challenge is.
Let's talk about sanctuary cities as we have about 10 minutes left with Dr. Brenda Chan on the Frederick Focus Show here on 930 WFMD and WFRE. Now, sanctuary city refers to towns, cities, counties, or states that decline to cooperate completely with federal detention requests related to undocumented immigrants, also referred to as illegal immigrants. In Maryland, Dr. Cham is really on the verge of, not really, they are on the verge of becoming a sanctuary state. How did this happen?
Oh, God. Slowly but surely, that's the way it happened. It doesn't happen very immediate as it seems, but it's like slowly but surely you work your way towards where we are now. This just didn't start yesterday. So it's really a detriment to our state, the fact that the word illegal means you are unlawfully doing something. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we can agree, we, the collective we, the General Assembly, I consider myself a part of that, but let me specify that a little bit more. The Democrats believe that it's legal, that it's okay to allow people who are here illegally to not be questioned. And I think where they come from with that is they feel that not all illegal immigrants are committing egregious crimes. Maybe two or three. Well, that's two or three too many. Two or three too many victims who've been victimized, too many families who've lost a loved one by someone who is here illegally. So the fact that we are here, it's really, you know, they say that Maryland is a purple state. I think we are slowly but surely moving towards becoming a blue state, but then that's going to require us as Republicans to work hard, to fight hard, to try and encourage like-minded people like us who carry those conservative values to run for office. That is the only way we are going to win in this process. We have to encourage people to consider running for office, and not just running, but winning. We have to win in these swing districts. We have to win in those districts that might not be easy to win in. That's the only way that we're going to get ourselves out of this situation that we're in. We've got to encourage more Republicans to run and win.
Now, I came up with three pros and three cons for sanctuary and non-sanctuary states. See if you could follow me on this. So here would be the con aspect of a sanctuary state. You're obviously harboring criminals. You're creating a dangerous environment for U.S. citizens. U.S., the operative word in that. Con number two, sanctuary policies defy federal law to which state and local governments are bound. I mean, that is just plain clear, right? And con number three, sanctuary policies prevent local and state police officers from doing their job. Now, let's talk about three pros that the other side, the Democrats, would say would be three pros to sanctuary states, Dr. Cham. Sanctuary cities would encourage better relationships between undocumented immigrants. Sanctuary policies are legal and protected by the 10th Amendment, and sanctuary cities or states protect undocumented immigrants against federal immigration laws. And I'm sure you've heard all six of those arguments over the past year, right?
Mm-hmm, that is correct. Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts? I mean, can you see, even though I know which side you're on, can you see any of the three pros, and can you agree to any of the three pros? Or are you just adamantly disagreeable to those three pros?
You know, better relationships. Of course, we want to have better relationships with people. The immigration system is broken. I think clearly that has been something that all of us can admit. The process it takes for people to, you know, if you decide to leave your country that you were born in, like my husband left Guinea, West Africa, to come to America looking for a better opportunity, did it legally. He's now a U.S. citizen, naturalized, knows more about my country than I do as far as history is concerned. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you do it the right way, we applaud those people and we support them, immigrants. And that's one of the debates that was on the floor this week that was offered up by one of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, one of the Democrats. It's like the Republicans hate immigrants. We don't hate immigrants. Some of my colleagues are immigrants from other countries. Some of them are married to people from other countries. So we don't hate immigrants. We just want people to come to this country the right way, legally, pay your taxes, do what you need to do to be an upstanding citizen, and coming here legally, we just cannot tolerate it. We can't condone it, and we don't support it.
You know, sometimes as a talk show host, my position on illegal immigration is Democrats simply want more people in this country that will expand their voting base so they mm-hmm. can stay in control. Is that
Absolutely.
Is that what you think the overall philosophy of the Democrats is, or do you believe they wholeheartedly have people's best interest at heart?
I have friends and family who are Democrats, wonderful people. I attend church with them, wonderful people, God-fearing people, loving people. My own siblings are Democrats. I know the type of rearing that my mom provided to us as young children, now adults, good people who want to do good things. So there are a few Democrats who just genuinely are compassionate people. They want to take care of the poor. They want to support people if they want to leave their country, come to America. You know, at least they want to take care of their family. They're just compassionate people. They don't look at the fact that they did it illegally. They look at the fact, I have to help them. We have to help them. And those are compassionate people, at least the people I know. But then I think the image of the Democrat Party on the flip side of that coin is, let's allow more people to come here illegally so that we can give them lots of free things and they can support the principles of the Democrat Party and eventually vote for the Democrat Party. I think that's exactly what the Democrat Party is starting to look like, encouraging and allowing the illegal entrance of people to come to this country so that they can entice them with wonderful things and encourage them to vote the Democrat ticket. I think that is exactly the avenue that they are going down.
Yeah, it almost sounds like, and it mimics a pay-for-play scheme, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the same mm-hmm. principles are intact there, the manipulation. And if you look at mm-hmm. the FBI's website, talked about what the things they investigate. I was going through this the other day, and I physically saw with my own eyes the FBI investigates border corruption. And then a couple of days ago, I went back to the FBI website to show somebody that they investigate border corruption, which is what the Biden administration really has been culpable of, and it was taken down. Border corruption is no longer on the FBI's what they investigate list. So very, very important talk we had here about race, about undocumented people coming into the country illegally. And I think we need to continue to have these discussions. Dr. Cham, I'm mm-hmm. proud of you. You've come a long way.
Thanks, Ryan.
Yeah. keep fighting that good fight because we know it's uphill, right?
It is uphill, but with the help of the good Lord, we're going to make it. We're going to be just fine.
For sure. If people want to learn more about Dr. Brenda Cham, where can they go?
Sure. Let me give you my website. It's www.brendacham.com. Again, that's www.brendatham.com.
All right, Dr. Cham, thank you very much. We'll catch up soon. You've been listening to the Frederick Focus Show right here on 930 WFMD and WFRE.
Four State Focus has been a public service of News Radio 930 WFMD. Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.